Now then, I'm Mike Harding, sitting in a stone shed in the Yorkshire Dales on a lovely spring day. It's sunny, windy and cold, but the daffodils are out daffodilling, the ducks are out ducking, and the flamingo's gone somewhere. I've got loads and loads of great stuff, so I'm not going to wibble and wobble about. I'm going to kick straight off with a track from a brand new album from Martin Brinsford, Keith Ryan and Gareth Kiddier. Martin and Keith are heavily into the wonderful music of the Slieve Lucre area of Cork and Kerry, and they're also into lots and lots of Irish music hall music. The album features jew's harp, fiddle, mouth organ and Gareth on stonking piano. Let's see what you think of this. I think it's a great way to start any show. This is The Lonesome Polkas. Stuff. Martin Brinsford, Keith Ryan and Gareth Kiddier with Lonesome Polkas from the album Next Slide Please, and it's a pun on the way our Prime Minister, the fridge magnet, stands there and either side of him are two scientists at each of his COVID evening gatherings, and they always say Next Slide Please, and of course a slide is also a dance.
In the Morelos Mountains, campesinos are planting their fields. Where the ghost of Zapata rides a horse that can still outrun the wheel. High in the sky above and clear out of sight, where the free Mexican Air Force flying tonight. In the city of San Antonio, a cowboy is cooling his heels, remembering that God gave us herbs and the fruits of the field. But a criminal law that makes outlaws of those seeking life takes the free Mexican Air Force, Mescalito. Flying so high, yay, yay. How strange that an innocent herb comes. flying so high. Air Force is flying tonight. High in the hills we are harvesting sweet sensimilla. Well, the law won't sit off, cause they think that the wild we can free. Freedom for us is a prison for the rulers of man. And the free Mexican Air Force, Mescalito riding his white horse. The free Mexican Air Force is flying tonight, flying so high.
A song that went especially out for a very, very special someone, the Free Mexican Air Force, Flaco Jimenez, and I think Pete Rowan on vocals, I'm not sure, because there are no sleeve notes, it came down the pipeline. That's from an album, Flaco Jimenez, The Best Of, song written by Pete Rowan, and of course, it is about, well, you must know that it's about marijuana and aeroplanes and American politics. And that's all you need to know. Apart from this next bit, important announcement. The Settlefolk Gathering will take place this year, unless there's a thunderstorm and a tsunami, an earthquake and a plague of wasps. We cancelled it last year for obvious reasons, but it looks as though by September the gates may be open again and it may be okay for us to go ahead. We're working on that assumption anyway. We have some great stars on the Free Folk Festival. The Brothers Gillespie, Faye Heald, Track Dogs, Alice Jones, Steve Turner and many, many more. We've got free workshops from spoons to mandolin, two free children's concerts at Cayley, buskers all over the streets, Morris sides leaping and dancing, and this trio, Sherburn, Bartley and Sanders. There used to be a duo of old gadgers, but their young carer started going along to the shows to look after them, and she ended up singing on stage just to help them out. Remarkable, really. Massive audience reaction the last time they played at Settle, so they're coming back this year. And here they are from their new album, Beguile, with The Autumn Child and William Taylor.
About two lovers who from Litchfield town they came. The young man's name was William Taylor, the lady's name was Sarah Gray. Now William Taylor, he has enlisted, for a soldier he has gone and left his own true lover for to sigh and for to mourn. Foldy, roldy, rum, dum, day, do. Foldy, roldy, rum, dum, day. Foldy, roldy, rum, dum, day, do. Foldy, roldy, rum, dum, day. Now Sarah's parents, they they did despise. I filled her heart with grief and woe. Then at last she's vowed and told them, for a soldier she would go. She's dressed herself in man's apparel she's put on. She's gone to seek her own true lover, for to seek him she has gone. Bo-de-ro-de-rum-dum-da-he-do, bo-de-ro-de-rum-dum-day, bo-de-ro-de-rum-dum-da-he-do, bo-de-ro-de-rum-dum-day. One day she was exercising, 1, 2, 3, a silver chain hung down her waistcoat and exposed her lily white breast. The sergeant major, he stepped up to her, asking her what brought her here. I've come to seek my own true lover, who has proved to me so dear. Bo-de-ro-de-rum-dum-da-he-do, bo-de-ro-de-rum-dum-day, bo-de-ro-de-rum-dum-da-he-do, bo-de-ro-de-rum-dum-day. If you've come to seek your lover, pray you tell to me his name. His name it is Bo William Taylor, who from Lichfield town he came. If his name be William Taylor, William Taylor, he's not here, for I do hear that he's to be married to some lovely lady fair. Bo-de-ro-de-rum-dum-da-he-do, bo-de-ro-de-rum-dum-day, bo-de-ro-de-rum-dum-da-he-do, bo-de-ro-de-rum-dum-day. Rise early in the morning, early at the break of day. Is there you'll spy your William Taylor walking with his lady gay. So she rose early in the morning, early at the break of day. Is there she spied her William Taylor walking with his lady gay. Bo-de-ro-de-rum-dum-da-he-do, bo-de-ro-de-rum-dum-day, bo-de-ro-de-rum-dum-da-he-do, bo-de-ro-de-rum-dum-day. She's called for shot, she's called for pistol, which were brought to her command. She's fired and shot Bold William Taylor, with his bride at his right hand. The sergeant major, he stepped up to her, he was well pleased at what she'd done. He's gone and made her a bold commander for a ship and all his men. Bo-de-ro-de-rum-dum-da-he-do, bo-de-ro-de-rum-dum-day, bo-de-ro-de-rum-dum-da-he-do, bo-de-ro-de-rum-dum-day, bo-de-ro-de-rum-dum-da-he-do, bo-de-ro-de-rum-dum-day, bo-de-ro-de-rum-dum-da-he-do, bo-de-ro-de-rum-dum-day.
Sherburn, Bartley and Sanders from the album Beguiled, with a cracking version of the traditional song William Taylor and the traditional tune The Autumn Child. And like I said, they're going to be on at the Settle Folk Gathering this year. Details on the website. Now, here's a classic from a man I haven't played enough of recently, Bob Fox. The great songwriting of Ewan McColl in the hands of him, one of the finest singers on the folk scene, is just sublime. The song was written for the BBC Radio Ballads documentary, as many of you will know, Singing the Fishing, which went on to win the Prix Italia way back when. From the album Borrowed Moments is Bob Fox with The Shoals of Herring.
Oh, it was a fine and a pleasant day. Out of Yarmouth Harbour I was faring, as a cabin boy on a sailing lugger. I was following the shoals of Erin. Well, the work was hard and the hours were long, and the treatment, sure, it took some bearing. There was little kindness and the kicks were many, as we hunted after shoals of Erin. Well, we fished the swath and the broken bank. I was cook and had a quarter sharing, and I used to sleep standing on me feet and dream about shoals of Erin. Now you're up on deck, you're a fisherman, you can swear and show a manly bearing. Take a turn on watch like the other fellas, while you hunt the bonny shoals of Erin. Well, we left the home grounds in the month of June, and for canny shields we soon was barren, with 100 crown of them silver darlings that were taken from the shores of Erin. Well, I earned me keep and I paid me well, and I owned the gear that I was wearing. Sailed 1,000,000 miles, caught 10,000,000 fishes. I was following the shoals of Erin. And with our nets and gear we're bearing on the wild and wasteful ocean. For it's there on the deep we'll harvest and reap our bread, and we'll hunt the bonny shoals of Erin. Through the stormy seas and the living gales, just to earn our daily bread we're daring. From the Dover Straits to the Faroe Islands, we've been following the shoals of Erin. And it was a fine and a pleasant day. Out of Yarmouth Harbour I was faring, there's a cabin boy on a sailing lugger. I was following the shoals of Erin. I was following the shores of her own.
Stuff. I'm sorry, but I just could not resist sticking Fishing Blues by Steve Baker and Dick Bird from their album King Kazoo on the end of that lovely version of Shores of Herring from Bob Fox. I thought they worked together. Maybe you didn't, but, you know, it's worth sticking your neck out from time to time, as the giraffe said, to Marie Antoinette. Now, Rachel Walker, I played a track from her album Gaul, which means love. It's Scottish Gaelic or Gaelic. And I'm going to play you another track now. Would you believe it's her first record in 10 years? The album is mainly composed of songs that she's written herself in the Gaelic and in English, and it explores different facets of love. Love of your family, love of language, unrequited love, and the love that we all know a bit about, love that is not love, but deceit. This song in English is called The Earl of Duer, and like I said, it is a song about deceit. It's a traditional song, and in the Gaelic, and I'll try and pronounce this right, it's Antarla Dura.
My sound can feel like
voice like a mountain stream. Beautiful. And Tala Durach, I think that's pronounced Durach. Rachel Walker from her album Gowl. Now here's something that slipped under my radar, but Al O'Leary put me right. I came up with this tune I'd found on the internet, and Al O'Leary, who runs Copperplate Hour, which is without doubt one of the best Irish traditional music shows there is, you must check it out, the Copperplate Hour, knows more about Irish music than I will ever learn if I live to be 150. So I heard this track and I thought, this is really good. John Keane, it's from an album called The Humours of Scariff. And I said to Alan, do you know anything about this? And he said, you've not been listening to the show, have you? And to be fair, I haven't, because I've been that busy. And Al had in fact played the album lots on his show. It's a fabulous album of really beautifully, sweetly recorded tunes, just uncluttered, and you don't need anything more than that. This is Pearl O'Shaughnessy's and Eddie Duffy's Barn Dances from John Keane's album The Humours of Scariff. Thank you. lovely. That's pure class. Great playing there. Just, like I said, uncluttered. Just the music and a very simple accompaniment. Absolutely wonderful. With Derek Hickey on accordion, Kira O'Sullivan on harp and vocals. That was John Keehan on fiddle from his album The Humours of Scariff, with Pearl O'Shaughnessy's and Eddie Duffy's Barn Dances. Now, Varro are a fantastic duo of musicians. Two girls living in Dublin at the present moment, Lucy Azcanaga, who comes from France, and Consuelo Neren Bresci, who's from Italy. Both play Irish music like they've been born there and been sucking on the teat of Irish music ever since. They play regularly at the Cobblestones in Smithfield, Dublin, and Walsh's Pub in Stony Batter. They teamed up with Niamh Berry, Anna Mierke and John Francis Flynn to put on a fabulous concert on St Patrick's Day in Walsh's, I think it was, in Dublin. I'll put a link up on the track listing page of the website so you can go there and you can watch it, because it is absolutely fantastic. An hour of totally brilliant, brilliant music, including great versions of An Canna Van Barn, The Doffing Mistress, Ye Jacobites by Name, and this song I'm going to play for you now. A cracking version of the traditional Irish song, Green Grows the Laurel.
Once had a sweetheart, but now he is gone. He's gone and he's left me. I'm here all alone. And since he has left me, content I must be. I know he loves someone far better than me.
Change the green, all of the red, white, and blue. she has left me content, I must be. I know he loves someone far better than me. Green grows the laurel and soft as the dew. Sad was my heart when I parted from you. And in our next meeting I hope you'll prove true. Never change the green laurel for the red, white and blue. Green grows the laurel and soft falls the dew. Sad was my heart when I parted from you. And in our next meeting I hope you prove true. Never change the green laurel for the red, white and blue.
Wow, that was absolutely magical. Varro there, Lucy Azconega and Consuela Neria Bresci, together with Neve Burry, Anna Mieka and John Francis Flynn. Recorded, I think, as I said, at Stony Batter as part of the St. Patrick's Festival 2021. And the link will be up there on the website. Please go and check it out. That's www.mikehardingfolkshow.com and you'll get a chance to go and see an absolutely wonderful, dead simply filmed concert. Just people doing great stuff in a couple of pubs in Dublin. Even the bartenders join in and sing because it's such a musical place. Legendary bartenders Anto Malone, Katie Walsh and Thomas Mulligan join in also. That was a special single, by the way, recorded just for radio broadcast. Now, time for the first of my interviews with folkies who've written books. But before I interviewed Sam Lee, who's written the first book we're going to be talking about, I went online because his book is about the nightingale, and I had a look at the number of songs I've got in my archive alone. That's on the hard drive, about nightingales. 73 songs with nightingale in the title in my music library. It's an icon that's fixed in the race memory of people across the world. They even sing about nightingales in Ireland and Scotland, where there aren't any. The nightingale doesn't get much further north than Suffolk, I expect. I think that's about as far as it gets. Maybe Lincoln. Anyway, in a moment you're going to hear me talking to Sam Lee about his amazing book, which is a part naturalist look at the nightingale, a cultural historian's look at how the nightingale has inspired writers and musicians over many centuries, and we talk about much more. But before we get there, from her album Saturnine, it's a beautiful voice of Jackie Oates, with a lovely version of The Sweet Nightingale.
My sweetheart, come along, don't you hear the fun song, the sweet notes where the nightingale sings. Don't you hear the fun tale of the sweet nightingale as she sings in the valley below? As she sings in the valley below. My sweetheart, don't fail, I will carry she sings in the valley below. As she sings in the valley below. Pray leave me alone, I have hands of my own.
Well, that track is called Improvisation. It's from the new album Singing with Nightingales, Sam Lee. And before that, you heard The Sweet Nightingale from Jackie Oates' album Saturnine. Sam's down the line in the south of England, the homeland of all nightingales. Because we can't get them up here in the north of England, can we?
Not, you know, without vast expense and you know, some slightly illegal behaviour.
Dodgy dealings, yeah. This is an absolutely beautiful book. It's a lovely hardback, wonderfully illustrated. And I'm just going to say something now. You don't ever do things by half. When I say you don't do things by half, what I meant is that when you got into gypsy music and traveller music, you lived with the people, you became one of the people, and you travelled everywhere, all over Ireland, all over Scotland, and you learned your songs from your sources and from people who became friends of yours.
Mm-hmm. We have precious chances in our lives to really go and embrace the wonders of the world. And you know, you as a folk music lover will know that we live in an amazing time where the old singers and the old songs sung in the traditional way, keeping the oral tradition going, is a rare thing. A little bit like hearing nightingales is a rare thing. You know, they're not going to be around for a lot longer. So as an artist, it's my duty to go and dive in and absorb as much, learn as much as possible.
I want to talk about the future and the way that the nightingale is in a way a symbol of what we stand to lose and how we're in the last chance saloon. But let's talk first of all about the nightingale as you came across it.
I'd sung about nightingales in folk songs for years and knew of the bird and knew the name, but I didn't know his song and I didn't know what that meant and who Nightingale was as a character, as a personality living out there in the land. And it was quite astounding, having no preconception of what that experience is like. So it did really knock me for six and give me an extraordinary insight into how powerful nature can be when nature wants to perform and really show her all her colours.
But the language of the nightingale, and I don't mean the language we use about the nightingale, but the nightingale's own language, because when you hear people saying, oh, well, they're just singing. No, they're not. Mm-hmm. We don't know what they're saying, but they're saying something. It's like the song of the whale on that wonderful song, Farewell to Ta Wathi, that Judy Collins recorded years ago. She used the song of whales in the background. Now, they're talking to each other. They're saying something. We don't know what they're saying, but it isn't just meaningless drivel.
No, absolutely. And on an aside, there's an extraordinary thing when you speed up humpback whale or slow down nightingale. They are almost exactly the same. Go on YouTube and listen out, particularly for David Rothenberg's example. And what we're hearing in that is essentially millions of years of rarefied evolution to create an extraordinary repertoire of sounds and codified signs and signatures that we'll never be able to interpret. Maybe one day, but we know there's a vast amount of knowledge being shared, as all bird species do. So there's a whole realm that we still yet at the tip of the iceberg.
And I think throughout history, a nightingale has had an amazing impact on mythology, on literature, on song, on music. If you think about stories like the Hans Andersen story of the nightingale and the emperor, which is an old story, which he obviously reworked. And the other stories as well. I mean, that terrible, terrible story of Philomel.
Gosh,
rape, murder, boiling children, serving them to their own father. It's like, you know, this is incredible stuff. People in the past were moved by the nightingale more probably than any other songbird.
Absolutely. I mean, they've held a principal place in culture all across the Northern Hemisphere, where they come to nest and procreate, that have embraced the nightingale in such a singular and principal way, and that's existed, as you say, within the extraordinary brutal mythology of the Greeks, that transformation into the nightingale from such trauma. There is an argument to say that over the millennia, and I'm talking hundreds of thousands of years, that we have existed alongside nightingales, of them singing the song of the arrival of the spring and the end of the hungry gap and the surviving of winter, that they have made a deep impact on us almost on a genetic level about how we react to birds and what we've learned from them, how our language has evolved in accordance.
And the way that you interact with them. You talk about the lady cellist, I've forgotten her name now.
Beatrice Harrison, yeah.
That's right, and it's on record, the BBC recorded it, of her playing the cello and the birds singing, which in a way is what you're doing as well, because you go out, you make music, you sing with nightingales.
I mean, this is it. As folk singers, Mike, you and me, we are all we're doing is stepping into a path that may once have been well trodden, but is somewhat grown over. And Beatrice Harrison, who in 1924 did the first ever live radio broadcast with her and the nightingale, was herself stepping into an ancient tradition of music with the bird. So my reviving of it in her image and honor is just a sort of marking of that ancient creative response that we've had and how we've turned that into an instrumental approach as well as a singing approach.
Well, let's play another track from the forthcoming EP now, which is called Singing with Nightingales. And here you've teamed up with another hero of mine, Cosmo Sheldrake. I played him on the show a couple of months back. He's another interesting character, isn't he?
He
works with the actual sound of the birds to create music.
Yeah, well, Cosmo is a kind of long lost brother of mine, and we've been pals. Well, still known him since he was a little toddler, but we've been friends for the last decade or so, and walk a twin path in loving of nature and how we embrace it into our performing. And he samples birds and nightingales and cuckoos, and a very different approach to my sort of whimsical romantic approach, but it's so inspiring.
And the falcon,
oh, the falcon,
she's a pretty bird, wonders as she flies. She asks us easy questions, we tell her easy lies. Go build you log cabin on a mountain so high, and hear them feather warblers yell as they go screaming by. She'll tease you,
she'll tease,
and she'll please you. She'll satisfy your needs, but someday she might turn around and hold your hand at peace.
Your hour
might be numbered, your end might come someday. Go break her chains and free her frame, and send her on her way. And the falcon,
oh, the falcon,
is a pretty bird, wonders as she flies. She asks us easy questions, we tell her easy lies, we tell her easy lies.
Sam Lee there with Cosmo Sheldrake from the EP Singing with Nightingales, and that song was called The Falcon. I was enthralled to read in your book that in some parts of the East, they would take cage birds to musical sessions with them.
Yeah.
And the singing of the birds became part of the music that they were making.
Absolutely, particularly in countries like Afghanistan with nightingales, but also with canaries was a very popular one because they really did sort of spark up, and they would sing throughout the year as opposed to the nightingale. It's just a springtime songbird. So there is that, you know, rather by our standards, maybe inappropriate caging of these wild creatures, but at the same time, such a beautiful, I mean, they cared so much for these birds and looked after them. They were highly revered and esteemed in their musicality.
Your writing in the book is beautiful. There's some majestic writing in it. And I was thinking then of how George Monbiot and his work with rewilding, and Robert McFarlane, the great climber and great walker, the Palomine, you know, the books that he's written, and even Nan Shepherd, who's long dead now, of course, but people are going and reading her writings again. And the young in particular are rediscovering the truth that we seem to have lost as human beings way back. If you think, how can a small, lovely girl like Greta Thunberg make so many rich industrialists and capitalists fill their trousers?
I mean, absolutely. And this is the wonderful thing that we're seeing is this. There are so many voices that have something to offer, and the music and that sense of creativity and art in relationship to nature is a very important story to be told. We have such wonderful, wise, educated voices like Rob and George and Greta talking on a systemic and an environmental, on a kind of stewardship level, on a practical level. But we also need more romantics too that are connecting nature with the
They are being heard, though. The voices are being heard, and they're not going to take the same old crap, the same old lies. They're not going to take that, not anymore. And that's our hope, I think.
I quite agree. And actually, it facing all the evidence and science of what we're set for over the next 50 to 100 years in climate change and ecological collapse, the thing that makes me excited is seeing the youth. The Fridays for Future campaigns and those voices and people 15, 16, younger than that, standing up and speaking so eloquently with such power and ferocity that, God, I would never have the courage to have done when I was a young teen. Yeah.
Amazing. Absolutely. Now, the book is, it's everything. It tells you all about the nightingale. It tells you all the stories of the nightingale, the legends. And I know that you're working really hard to try and conserve and preserve the nightingale and its natural habitats. And there's some great stuff in the book about people who are rewilding their environments and are inviting people onto the land to experience the nightingale. And you are actively taking people out and leading them out to listen to the bird, aren't you?
Well, this is my most exciting part of it, is that I'm pleased that people read the book. But when for the spring, from mid-April through to end of May, I run the Singing with Nightingales concerts, where an audience of about 30 or so every night come and actually hear the bird, and we play music together, like Beatrice Harrison, actually taking them. It's like, you know, it's like difference between drinking a cup of the water and taking them by their ankles and dropping them down the well. They really, to immerse them in what that power is like to be in their presence. And that's for me the most privileged thing.
And how would people find out more about this? Your website?
My website has all the events on them. Also, the Nest Collective, which is my events company that produce all these, will have them. So nestcollective.co.uk has all that and ticket links.
And when's the EP out?
Same day, I think. It'll just be online. Yeah.
We'll put a link through. And Wonderful. Again, thanks for talking to us.
Great to see you, Mike. Thank you.
An angel bride. come tripping down so low. Think I'm sad, country boy. And modest to me she flies, and I daily labor for my bread. Down by the Tanya's side, so red and rosy was his cheeks, and amber was his hair, and amber was his hair, and his two pretty eyes like dying shine. My hands pass through his head. It is 12 long months since first we met, so early in the spring, when the small birds they do whistle loud, the nightingale do sing. The nightingale do sing.
Thank you.
Tanyard Side from Sam Lee's new EP, singing with Nightingales and Lisa Knapp, the great Lisa Knapp there, on backing vocals. It is a wonderful book, and if you go to our website, www.mikehardingfolkshow.com, you'll be able to get a link there through to Sam's website and order the book from him, or you can get it, I think, probably by now from, I hate to say it, but there you go, Amazon and various other sources. Now, the new album from Rhiannon Giddens and Francesco Turisi is imminent. I haven't got a copy of the full album yet, but I do have another pre-release track from that wonderful, wonderful singer. This is Waterbound.
Chickens crowing in an old pine tree. Chickens crowing in an old pine tree down in North Carolina. Waterbound and I can't get home. Waterbound and I can't get home. Waterbound and I can't get home down in North Carolina. River's up and I can't get across. River's up and I can't get across before the water rises. Waterbound and I can't get home. Waterbound and I can't get home. Waterbound and I can't get home down in North Carolina. Waterbound and I can't get home down in North Carolina.
Great stuff. I find it really frustrating when you hear wonderful, wonderful music like that and the album's not out yet, as far as I know. And I just can't wait to get my fingers, my grubby little mitts on that album. It's going to be called Calling Me Home, Rhiannon Giddens and Francesco Torisi. And that was Waterbound, which is a wonderful song, of course. And Mike McGoldrick has done a great version of it as well. But, well, I'm just frustrated that I can't get the album. If you don't know Rhiannon Giddens' work, then do look her up, because she's made some amazing, amazing music over the years, both with the Carolina Chocolate Drops and with other combinations and on her own. She is an absolutely amazing musician, an ethnomusicologist, and somebody whose voice just has, for me, that element of authenticity which is absolutely necessary in any folk singer's voice, because it doesn't matter. You can have the best voice in the world, but if it don't have soul in it, it ain't worth listening to. But that's a voice which certainly is. Now, talking of which, this is a non-vocal track from a non-vocal album from no less than Luca Bloom. Luca Bloom, that great singer, songwriter, has been locked down like the rest of us, but like many of us also, he's not been sitting on his bum doing nought. He's made an album of what I think are rather wonderful arrangements of tunes. The album's called Out of the Blue, and from it, this is his version of the gorgeous Irish air, The Mountains of Pomeroy. Mountains of Pomeroy from Luca Bloom's new album Out of the Blue. It's a collection of traditional and Luca's own tunes, all given arrangements like that. And I think it's just beautiful. I listened to the whole album the other night and just sat there with a glass of wine and let it all float around and over me. As you should in these troubled times, take a bit of time out. It's what we all should be doing. Cinnamon Water, I'm going to play next, a track from John Bowden's new album, Last Mile Home. I've had it a while, but couldn't get it in last month's show because of time and just had loads of stuff to try and get in. Last Mile Home, the new album, is the final part of John's trilogy, which is looking at the things that are happening to us or going to happen to us because of the climate change that is happening in the world. It began with his 2009 album, Songs from the Floodplains, and then in 2017, Afterglow was released, which was very sort of hard-hitting, almost industrial, if you like, folk, with lots of really dynamic sound effects as well. There's more of an acoustic treatment in the new album, and this is based on the story, if you like, of an older couple who leave their home on the edge of Sheffield to walk through a post-climatic landscape 80 miles to the North Sea coast, looking for a new home. Well, the track I've chosen, like I said, is called Cinnamon Water, and this is what John says about it. One great consolation of lockdown for me was finally getting around to trying wild swimming in earnest. I live near to a series of tree-lined reservoirs, and the dark brown water provided me with many hours of tranquility during 2020. Hence the title, Cinnamon Water.
Of two and thrown. Take off your leather boots, your fettered feet unbind. Take off your cloying travel clothes and from the white earth climb into cinnamon water.
The sound of the old needle in the groove there. What was it? A wax cylinder or an old 78? I don't know. Cinnamon Water from John Bowden's new album, Last Mile Home. Now, Alistair Russell was, for many, many years, lead vocalist and engine room guitarist of that great, great Scottish band, the Battlefield Band. Like many old folky roadsters, myself, I would include in that, he's got lots and lots of stories to tell about those crazy years of the folk clubs and beyond, when life was a constant, illusory stream of time spent in a van and sleeping on settees, interrupted only by gigs in smoky, candle-lit rooms above old pubs. His book, Can't Do This On Me Own, is a cracking read, and you'll hear me talking to the man himself in a few moments. But first of all, this is I Am the Common Man from the Battlefield Band's album Anthem for the Common Man. The words written, as many of you will know, by the great working-class Scottish playwright and poet John Corey, and the tune was written by Alan Reid.
I am the common man.
I am the fool, the despised.
I am the common man.
I am the brute and the
I
slave.
Am the
I am the tool in their eyes. From the cradle to the grave. From the cradle to the grave.
I am the common man.
I am the hewer.
I am the common man.
I am the tiller.
I am the common man.
I am the seraph of the
I
sea.
Am the common man.
Born to bear and to toil. Born to bear and to toil. I am the common man. But masters of mine, take heed. For you have put into my head many wicked deeds.
I am the builder of halls. I am the dweller of slums. I am the filth and the scum.
The Common Man from the album Anthem for the Common Man, the Battlefield Band. Alistair, reading the book, Can't Do This On My Own, it's obvious that you haven't done it on your own, because most of the stories in it involve lots and lots of characters on the folk scene. But let's go back to the early days and how you started in the music business. How did you get involved? Was it in the family? Did you learn music from your parents, that kind of stuff?
My parents are from Court Bridge in the south of Scotland near Glasgow, and there was one musician in our extended family. That was my uncle Jimmy, but he was in the local Rail and Space Society in Court Bridge. But no, I was lucky when I was at school in Stockton-on-Tees to meet the two brothers from another family of Scottish origins called the Still family, and Robert and Sandy Still became my traditional music gurus. Up to that point, I thought folk music was Bob Dylan. And they really got me, they recruited me as a singer for their band, and got me into traditional music, and more specifically Scottish and Irish music.
Yeah.
And that was me hooked at that point. And everything that happened after that got me further and further into the Scottish music scene, to sum up a very long story, yeah.
So when you did start, I mean, the early part of the book, there's a lot of amazing stuff in about hitchhiking. I mean, you travelled everywhere with the thumb, didn't you?
You tell that to young folk nowadays and they don't yeah. believe you. I didn't really consider it at the time when I was writing this, but a mate sent me a message and he said, you know, this is social history, so this. Well, I wouldn't be so presumptuous. I was just trying to write some daft stories down. The spin-off of that is that you're actually painting a picture of life as it was at the time. And in the late 1960s, early 70s, during that hippie era, you couldn't pass a roundabout on the A1 without there being three or four hitchhikers stood there. Yeah. And to actually be that hitchhiker, it's a great privilege because, you know, you at that point, nothing crossed our minds about how it might be dangerous. And no. the attitude of the people who picked you up was equally open and innocent in that they were looking for company to keep them awake while they were driving or whatever. And it was just a great way to get around. And it became an end in itself where you would enjoy the actual process of getting yeah. from A to B as much as when you got there.
One of the stories that had me tickled was about a flute player when you were in the sessions who used to put peas in his flute.
That's Gavin, yes, Gavin Hodge. And I haven't seen him for years, but other members of his band, I do kind of come across on social media from time to time. The band was called Silver Spear and they were based in Sheffield. And anyway, Gavin, the flute player, he had a low tolerance level for people talking in the folk club. So he always had a bag of peanuts to hand where he would just pop one in the mouthpiece of his flute, cover up all the holes with his fingers, aim accurately and hit them in the eye with a peanut. And they would wonder where it had come from. You know?
But you got involved in the Irish scene and, you know, you played folk clubs and you were working as a solo artist quite a lot as well, weren't you? And then you met the Battlefield Band. Something happened. How did you end up in the Battlefield Band? One of the most successful and one of the biggest touring bands from the Scottish folk scene.
Yeah, they were by the time I joined them, but I had known them from when, more or less, when they started out as a professional band. I mean, this is a band that started in an amateur way in 1969. But by 1976, they had become a full-time band. And mm-hmm. one of their first outings as a professional outfit was to the northeast of England because there was a woman there called Betty Verrill, a Scottish woman, who single-handedly was responsible for introducing bands like Silly Wizard, Tannehill Weavers, Battlefield Band, Ossian to the English folk club scene. Mm-hmm. That little circuit of folk clubs around Teesside became the first stepping stone for all these bands. So that was how I first came to pal up with Battlefield Band. I had already known them as friends for years. So it was pretty smooth transition, really.
You were with them for 13 years, weren't you?
Yeah, 13 fun-filled years.
And most amazing, I mean, reading the book, the parts of the world that you travelled and the albums that you made and the music along the way and the people that you met on the road are absolutely amazing. Now, I want to talk about that in a minute and play a track now from another album. This is Quiet Days, and it's one of my favourite tracks. And I think it's a songwriter that you greatly admire, Richard Thompson, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
How Will I Ever Be Simple Again?
Thank you. She danced through the streets where the guns all around her, all torn like a rag doll, barefoot in the rain. And she sang like a child, Tooraloo, Tooraladdie, oh, how will I ever be simple again? She sat by the banks of the dirty grey river and tried for a fish with a worm on a pin. There was nothing but fever and ghosts in the water. Oh, how will I ever be simple again? War was my love and my friend and companion. What did I care for the pretty and plain? But her smile clear, and my heart was so troubled. How will I ever be simple again? In her poor burned-out house, I sat at her table, and the smell of her hair was like cornfields in May. And I wanted to weep, but my eyes ached from trying. Oh, how will I ever be simple? So graceful she moved through the dust and the ruin. Happy she was in her dances and games. Teach me to see with your innocent eyes, love. Oh, how will I ever be simple?
How will they ever be simple again? The lead vocals of Alistair Russell. I'm talking to him about his new book, Can't Do This On My Own, a story of his life with the Battlefield Band and with music, with folk, from beginning to end. Robin Morton, let's mention Robin because he's one of the great characters. He's the guy who set up the Boys of the Lock, of course, one of those early great touring bands. Temple Records, from the little village of Temple, just south of Glasgow. And he also ran the Battlefield Band for many, and still does, but has been running them for many, many years. What a character he is.
Yes, I mean, in behind the wisecracking raconteur exterior lies the mind of a shrewd businessman who never forgets a name or a face. He was absolutely essential, and he was responsible, for example, having toured the USA with the Boys of the Loch so many times, he was responsible for getting Battlefield Band into the USA. And the very first USA tour I did with them, it was 9 weeks, and I did keep a record. We averaged 4 hours of sleep per night for 9 weeks on that tour. We just ran ourselves ragged. But at the end of that tour, I remember we each got a little bonus of about £200. And there was a great celebration because that was the seventh tour the Battlefield Band had done in the USA. And it was the first time there had ever been a profit. So without a manager like Robin Morton to actually keep you at it and push you to keep going, this will come right in the end.
You'd have been stuffed, wouldn't
you? The band might have given up on the USA touring, and in the end, it was one of the best places in the world that we would go on tour. Yeah.
The other thing about Robin, of course, is that his knowledge of traditional music is amazing.
Oh, he wrote that book. He wrote the book about the folk songs in Ulster.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's not a secret. He's reworking that book now. It'll probably be ready soon with much more detail. And it's going to be another Bible that everybody who's into traditional music will need to get.
Tell us the story of Crop Ready and Robin.
Robin Morton's finest hour, not.
Go on.
Well, it was already a fraught weekend. What had happened was we were on a tour of the Scottish Highlands and Islands. We used to get sponsored for these things by various bodies, the Highlands and Islands Development Board, otherwise known as the Last Quango in Harris. And in the middle of this tour, we had to make our way all the way down to Oxfordshire to play at the Crop Ready
Festival.
And this was a big deal. I mean, even already then, I think it was 86 or thereabouts, there would be 14 or 15,000 people at this thing. And we had a lovely spot just before tea time. Everybody was chilled out and ready for a great time. But we had our drum machine stored into a tape machine, which I had next to me on stage. And I had to push the button for this one song we did, which was Bad Moon Rising by Creedence Clearwater. And to cue the drums, which would then play all the way through the song. But Robin, all afternoon, had been enjoying the beer tent. And he had purchased a puppet, which was like a marionette puppet, which was a big ostrich, you know, like the big bird in Sesame Street. And so he was having such a good time. His lads were doing great on stage. It was the finale. And he thought he would join us on stage with this enormous bird puppet. So he came on stage, stumbled on stage, it has to be said. And the first thing he did was pull out the lead that connected our drums to the sound system. He tripped over it. So we're all going full tilt, and all of a sudden there's no drums in the monitor. And then we kept playing, and as long as we kept playing and looked convincing, we'd get away with it. But Robin thought he would be helpful and plug the drums back in. But of course, there's no guarantee that you're going to still be in time with the drums, which have been playing away merrily in silence to themselves while all this is going on. So in between verses, I'm shouting to Robin, no, don't plug it in, don't plug. And finally, he got the message and didn't plug the drums back in, thank goodness. So that was the last number, and off we went, off the back of the stage, and Morton's sitting there, not the slightest bit perturbed, and we laid into him, what did you do that for, Robin? You just about sabotaged our gig there. And straight away, he came back without a word, a moment's thought. Don't blame me. It was the duck. Blame it on the duck became a band catchphrase. There's lots of them in the book. I've tried to put these little hooks in from time to time.
That's the thing that keeps you going as a band, though, having your own sort of language, your own lexicon.
for.
And the stories of life on the road are incredible. You mentioned when you work in Canada, coming across a guy called Grit Laskin, who is now one of the great guitar makers of the world. And funnily enough, I've got a 5-string banjo in the house, and he made me the strap.
All right.
For that, years and years back in Toronto. But the lovely story you tell in the book of Grit Laskin's first car, tell us that.
Yeah, this story comes via Tam Kearney, who was actually a legend of the Scottish folk scene before he ever went to Canada. One of the wheelers and dealers and prime movers of the Scottish folk scene, who then did exactly the same in Canada. He ran concerts in Toronto, and he started a band called the Friends of Fiddler's Green. And they took the young, naive Grit Laskin on board their band. But Grit got his first car during this period, and he'd never had a car before. So the band were famous for practical jokes. So what they did for the first week of him owning the car, they would go around to his house every night and put a gallon of petrol in his car, because they didn't have locks on the petrol caps back in those days. So after a week, they said, "How's your new car going? What kind of miles to the gallon are you getting?" He's going, "I don't understand this at all." I said, "I've not had to put any petrol in. It's just phenomenal what the mile for gallon." So then, of course, the next week, they crept around every night and siphoned a gallon of petrol out of his tank for 7 days, and asked him the same question again the next week. He says, "Oh, it's just, this is terrible. I've got it booked in at the garage tomorrow. There's something dreadfully wrong with it." And so before he went to the garage and got made to look like a fool, they finally came clean with what they
told him.
As practical jokes go, that shows dedication in the extreme.
That's brilliant. Yeah. That is absolutely brilliant. Well, you left the band in the end. All good things must come to an end, as the nun said when she bit the bum off the sugar elephant. And and then you've done so much since. You've been a tour manager, you've done sound mixing, and of course lots of gigs with one of my favourite pals, Chris Parkinson. Parky, as he's known in the business.
Yeah, being on tour with Parky is just brilliant, because he's such a laid-back character, and he's got this uncanny ability of being able to tell you the same story every time and it's still interesting.
Yeah.
Reliable guy to have at your side. Fantastic.
Brilliant. Well, where can people get the book if they want it? Can't do this on my own. Alistair Russell, A Life in Minority Music and Other Stories. Where can they get it?
Well, for now, they have to go to my website, which is alistairrussell.co.uk.
Yeah.
But I'm just about to make it available on Amazon. We don't like Amazon, but on the other hand, they are the biggest booksellers in the world. So pretty soon it'll be on Amazon. But to make it the best for everybody, just go to my website, please.
Great stuff. Well, let's finish with the track You and Parky from your album A Glass and a Mile. And this is you singing Bold Doherty. Thanks for talking to us, Ali.
Oh, thanks.
And we've talked for 32 minutes, 33 minutes there.
You'll have to chop that down.
Me name is Bull Doherty from the North Country, where there's a still upon every stream. Landlady, be quicker and bring us more liquor and fill us a pitcher that's stronger than cream. If I had you, Molly, so pleasant and jolly, although it's a folly to ask it at all. If I had a glass and a mile to the bottom, I'd drink to you, Molly, in old Donegal. Fal-de-dol-dol, fal-de-dol-dol to me, fal-de-dol-dol to me, fal-de-dol-day. Fal-de-dol-dol, fal-de-dol-dol to me, fal-de-dol-dol to me, fal-de-dol-day. I'd a new pair of brogues I'd brought home from the market. I wanted an excuse for to go back to town. I told me old mother the seams they were ripped, and I needed some nails for to rivet them round. She clothed me hand with a bright silver shilling, said the remainder it would be me own. When you go to town you may buy a full noggin, beware you bring none of your fancy girls home. Fal-de-dol-dol, fal-de-dol-dol to me, fal-de-dol-dol to me, fal-de-dol-dee. Fal-de-dol-dol, fal-de-dol-dol to me, fal-de-dol-dol to me, fal-de-dol-dee. When crossing the hills of me brave Enniskillen, I went into an alehouse for to take a dram. There I saw two tinkers dividing a saucepan, though they were arguing about a tin can. One of them took a great blow at the other and said, me old villain, I will take your life. Your saucepans are leaking and can't hold the water since ever Bull Doherty spoke to your wife. Fal-de-dol-dol, fal-de-dol-dol to me, fal-de-dol-dol to me, fal-de-dol-dee. Fal-de-dol-dol, fal-de-dol-dol to me, fal-de-dol-dol to me, fal-de-dol-dee. Let me in, be gone from this place, were the words that she mentioned, for inside this door you will not venture in. You may go away to wherever you came from, for to lock you out now I think it's no sin. Says I, me good woman, you may hold your temper, for I can get lodgings with Nora Biglin. Fal-de-dol-dol, fal-de-dol-dol to me, fal-de-dol-dol to me, fal-de-dol-dee. Fal-de-dol-dol, fal-de-dol-dol to me, fal-de-dol-dol to me, fal-de-dol-dee.
Well, Bull Doherty, Alistair Russell and Chris Parkinson from the album A Glass and a Mile. And before that, of course, you heard me talking to Alistair about his new book, I Can't Do This on My Own. You go on the website, you'll find everything you need to know. Now, prizes for those who can tell me what film this comes from. It's not actually from the film soundtrack itself, but the song is from a certain film. And if you can tell me, there are lots of prizes.
Finir mes jours à Tombouctou, la peau tirée par des machines à clous. Moi je veux être fripée, triplement fripée, fripée comme une triplette de Belleville. Je veux pas finir ma vie à Acapulco, dans ce tourade avec des gigolos. Moi je veux être tordue, triplement tordue, balancée comme une triplette de Belleville. Swinging Belleville rendez-vous, mountain dancing tontilou, vovo cancan ballet tabou, au Belleville swinging rendez-vous. Je veux pas finir ma vie à Singapour, jouer au dit qu'on mangeait des petits fous. Je veux être idiot, triplement idiot, condamné comme une triplette de Belleville. Je veux pas finir ma vie à Honolulu, chanter comme une oiseau, ça ne se fait plus. Je veux ma voix brisée, triplement brisée, swinguer comme une triplette de Belleville. Swinging Belleville rendez-vous, marathon dancing don't elude. Taboo, oh, Belleville swinging from day to day. Oh. Katmandou. Si bien plus doux de faire des rimes en loup. Mais je veux être givré, triplement givré, swingé comme les triplettes de Belleville.
Swingin' Belleville rendez-vous. Merton dancing, don't be Vovo cancan, ballet tabou. Swinging from day to swinging Belleville rendezvous. Merton dancing, tonti loo. Vovo can come, ballet tabou. Oh, Belleville swinging from day to day.
One of my favourite pieces of music ever, and I love that version of it. Belleville Rendezvous from Annabel Chvostek's new album, String of Pearls. I just got that and I thought, whoa, I've got to play this right away. The film, and none of you got it, nobody phoned in with the right answer. Shame on you. You should all know that film. It's called Belleville Rendezvous. Or the triplets of Belleville, I would have accepted that as a correct answer. 2003, the film was made. It's one of the greatest animation films ever made, written and directed by a French genius, Sylvain Chomet. And it's won so many prizes, and it was recommended for 2 Academy Awards for Best Animated Feature and Best Original Song. You'd have to have a heart of stone not to love that film. He went on to make another in the same animation style called The Illusionist, which was a bittersweet look at Jacques Tati's last film script. And it's a fantastic film also. But do get hold of Belleville Rendezvous and have a look at it. And if you don't like it, I'm not your friend. Now, last month I played a track by Anne Feeney, and did not know when I played that track that the poor girl had actually died earlier in the month on February the 3rd of COVID. So I'm going to play another track from her because she was one of the great fighters, one of the great social commentators, great social singers, went everywhere. She was on all the protest marches that could be, and a wonderful writer and a wonderful singer. Not heard of all that much over here because she worked mainly in America and Canada. I'm going to play you a track called How Much for the Life of a Miner. It's not her singing on this. It's actually Sandy O, part of Emma's Revolution. Pat Humphries on vocal and banjo. James McVeigh on slide guitar. Gary Mankin on bass. And it's from The War on the Workers, a tribute to Anne Feeney, which was released on December the 28th, 2016. It's Anne Feeney's own song, and I think it's a beautiful song. And she writes on the sleeve notes, I wrote this song for Jerry Starr's play Buried, the story of the Sago mine disaster, when the methane exploded in the Sago mine on January the 7th, 2006. How much for the life of a miner? What a question.
Heard 16 tons in the coal tattoo. In the coal field, danger is nothing new. Here's the question I'm putting to you. How much for the life of a miner? It should come as no surprise. You'll hear them spout the same old lies. Every time a miner dies, how much for the life of a miner? Somewhere far away from here, accountants will project. Actuaries speculate on causes and effect. No pesky regulations from the thieves that they elect. And auditors confirm the yield from their benign neglect. Each state sets a price for a leg that's lost. Lose an arm or an ear, there's a preset cost. When the air goes bad and there's no exhaust. Oh, how much for the life of a miner. A slap on the wrist or a paltry fine. Reversed on appeal on down the line. An act of God, the courts opine. How much for the life of a miner? Politicians posture at the mine face solemnly. Live reporters swarm like flies around the tragedy. Preachers will proclaim the Lord behaves mysteriously. And PR spokesmen orchestrate deniability. And now their widows, sons and daughters come to you and me. And ask how much for the life of a miner. How much for the life of a miner.
How much for the life of a miner? And as ever, you can get details of that song and anything else you've heard on this podcast by going to 3W's Mike Harding folkshow.com. And you'll find links there to all the artists and also links on this particular show, though I may try doing it a bit more, to a couple of video clips that I've found of the artists on this podcast. Well worth looking at. 3W's Mike Harding folkshow.com. Now, I did promise you last month that I was going to play you another track from Brian Finnegan's new album. I didn't want to squeeze another track in that show, which was already crowded. And also, I wanted to explain a little bit about the next track, because there are two tracks back to back. But the first one in particular, I wanted to explain about because it's called Dare. And it's actually a poem with musical accompaniment. And it just needed the scene to be set a little, I think. And then, in fact, what happened was that Brian wrote to me when he heard that I played the track, and he said, I listened in today, and I thought I'd let you know a little bit more about Dare, the final track on the new album Hunger of the Skin. Back in 2010, when Bones came out, that's The Ravishing Genius of Bones, his last album, you got in touch about the poem that I'd referenced in the liner notes called Thomas. That poem was written by my sister, Mona, and so all these years later, Mona and I got a step further in. Not only did I include her poem, Dare, on the album, but I convinced her to recite it herself. My sister is quite a unique and remarkable woman. Dare is wise and very, very relevant. Full stop. Well, what is amazing is that Mona is a poet. In my opinion, she's a great poet, but she also works. She's an anthropologist who works in Edinburgh, and she's very shy and doesn't believe she's any good as a poet. But I think she's wonderful, and I think this poem, which is about us, and there's so much of today, and so much of us as people, is one of the finest poems of the last 10 years. I read a lot of poetry, and this is head, shoulders, knees and feet above most of it. So Dare, with the poem read by Mona, will be followed by Crossing the Rubicon from Brian Finnegan's new album, Hunger of the Skin. But first of all, here's Mona with Dare.
If all the years on all of earth in all of time reached out their hand and touched your brow, and felt the sweat on your cheek tingle now, as it does, and loved, and feared, this face veered in a rush of light and sound, as we all are, as all corporeal life is too, the ending buried in you from the first blink. They couldn't touch you, trace you, ache for love of you more tenderly than I do. I stood in the fruit market, in the fattening heat, and I looked around me at all these bodies balancing their chosen weights, invisibly, behind straight faces. And I thought of the day you were born, that steaming out of me, and what the body with its blood lion knows to do. And I remembered holding you, your gold crown between my breasts, the hint of steam all over you, this one recently arrived from the great emptiness. And I felt the war in this world, the tearing down of the big monoliths of certainty and progress, and the scorching of the earth nest, till the children leap across the rails, their tails on fire. And I believed, standing there, in the rot of melon and the jam of plum, that it all comes back to this. The hand I risk on your brow this morning, how it tears me open, like a soft fruit separating grain from grain, revealing truth and pain, and something without name, but close to bliss. And this, my friends, and this is what they're stealing from us, with their suits and ties and slick white smiles, our tenderness, our pain. If all the years on all of earth, in all of time, reached out their hand and circled back again and lived, they have. Put out your hand. Touch what you love.
even as late it happens. The coming of love, the coming of light. You wake and the candles are lit as if by themselves. Stars gather, dreams pour into your pillows, sending up warm bouquets of air. Even this late, the bones of the body shine, and tomorrow's dust flares into breath.
two tracks back to back there from the new album from Brian Finnegan, Hunger of the Skin. First of all, you heard Dare, poem written and read beautifully, I think, by his sister Mona, and after that, Crossing the Rubicon, a tune or a set of tunes written by Brian himself. Wonderful album. Do get it. It's full of wonderful music. Now, we've just got time for two more tracks in this show, and I'm going to play you Judy Collins from her album Whales and Nightingales singing the song Farewell to Tawathi that I talked about with Sam Lee when we were talking about nightingales way back. I really do believe that we don't know what whales are saying, but that does not mean that they're not passing on amazingly complex pieces of information or emotion. We just don't know. And how arrogant of us to believe that we're the only beings on the planet that have a real language.
Farewell to Tawathi,
Track is well old, but I still feel goosebumps on the back of my neck when I listen to it. Not just the singing of Judy Collins, which is remarkable, but also, of course, the songs of the Wales themselves. What a wonderful track. Now, I'm going to get into this very quickly because it's nearly... Oh, blimey, what is it now? 2 hours, 26 minutes, and I'll get smacked for using up all the server space. I'm not going to say very much about this guy, Eli West, apart from the fact that I've just come across him. I think he's absolutely amazing. Martin Simpson and Richard Hawley both agree with me and rate him incredibly highly indeed. Eli West plays guitar, banjo, pedal steel guitar, and as Tim O'Brien says, quote, making music the world needs. This is Eli West with Sweet Marie. Thanks ever so much for listening. Look after yourselves. Take care. Be good. I've just had my second jab this morning and it didn't hurt a bit. If you know people who are a bit timid about going and getting the jab, tell them not to be soppy and daft. If a mardy arse like Mike Harding can go and get it, so can you. Take care of yourselves. Ta-ra.